Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Cookie Cast. Today on Cookie Cast, it's the Formula One podcast straight to the apex. The boys are all here. They're talking Formula One, racing, race reviews, race previews, race predictions, race news. Race news? Is that the right way to say that? Formula One news. That's how that should go. There's news, okay? Before we start, please do consider like, share, subscribe and comment. Leave reviews where you can leave reviews. The big one being share the podcast around. It's a fantastic podcast. I think you'll agree. You're here listening to it, loving every minute of it. Everybody should be listening to it. Share the podcast around. Right, let's get started. Here we go. This is Cookie Cast, straight to the apex.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I don't know whatever time it is you're listening to this. The fact is, you're listening. And if you think you've made a mistake, who gives a shit? Keep listening. Do it. For God's sake, it's the third season. We need more listeners. And if that hasn't scared you off, this is episode 6 of Straight to the Apex. I'm in the driver's seat this week. The host, James Stainforth. My pit crew is Mark. I can't think of anything for middle name Wilkin and Tony T Dog. I've got a fancy new Fade Rawson. We doing good, boys?
Yeah, my lad. Thank you. How are you?
You good?
You all right?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I'm good. One of you froze, and then the other one froze, and I'm like, oh shit. And now we're all back.
It's all you by yourself.
It's all me by myself. It seems weird because I think every single episode of this season, I've been in the living room. I haven't been like shoved away in the kitchen. So just for the benefit of everyone who's wondering, Charlie's still alive. She just seems to have a lot of courses at the moment. So yeah, she's not dead.
Is one of the courses how to predict the predictions better?
Oh, God, I hope so, because, yeah, this week, the next predictions ain't much better. But we'll get to that.
Spoilers.
So, I'd like to apologise ever so slightly. And I don't even think it's an apology, really.
Okay.
But I feel a little bit bad, because on the last episode, I may have made reference to calling myself the Juice, because I knew about both Mark and Tony getting penalties from the FIA, and I didn't. So I just thought shit couldn't stick to me if I tried. And not long after, I'd made that little reference.
It was fantastic.
A certain NFL player may have died.
Nicknamed the Juice.
So this week, I've chosen to call myself Bieber.
In the hope. It worked again. Now I've just got it.
I've just seen that. I was like, oh, God. Okay.
Wow, Tony's choosing Five Guys.
Sponsored by Five Guys.
He's also having a milkshake.
Yeah, Bischoff. Oh, sorry, it's Blair because...
Back in the driving seat, it's another episode where Andy can sit there panicking. And I've also got notes about Yuki Tsunoda and the commentator saying, oh, Yuki Tsunoda has just pulled off. Sorry, in fact, just pulled himself off.
Wow.
Aye. Yeah.
It's not as good as coming down the straight, but...
Yeah. Or he pulled out.
Yeah.
Hi, Andy.
Sorry, Andy. Again, we do apologise. But
Mark, sorry, mate. You are genuine. Cringing.
Yeah,
getting it all out of my system now.
Just before we carry on, any word from the FIA on a penalty for the FIA? No. Any responses this week?
I have heard nothing.
Right, okay. Interesting. You know, it's still under investigation for their own wrongdoings of being late, but Hey, we were old and we'll move on. Sorry. One more.
So, here we are. The Chinese Grand Prix. It was a sprint.
It's just us now.
I missed. Yeah, first sprint of the year. Probably one of the best sprints. And I think I missed pretty much the whole race weekend because I just double booked myself on everything. Absolutely everything.
Nice.
I know.
Nice.
Organized.
Nice.
It's like, oh, what are you doing on Saturday? Oh, you know what? Let's go do this. Yeah, yeah. Great. Brilliant. Sunday, what are we doing Sunday? Oh, let's go play golf. Yeah, we'll do it in the morning. Oh, yeah. Oh, 20 to 9 kick-off. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Crap.
Oh, dear. No commitment to the cause.
Organised.
Oh, that's great.
Did I watch the sprint race? I put the sprint race on Saturday night.
You've watched it?
Yeah. You've watched the best of it. Oh, wow.
Then I put the qualifying on. And fell asleep through it. And it was one of the best naps I had in a very long time.
So did you miss sprint shootout then?
Yep. Missed the sprint shootout. Oh, I know, great here, aren't I? I didn't get to see the shootout, but I saw the results. I did watch the sprint and I did pretty much watch the quali in the end because I was curious as to what the fuck is going on with Mercedes.
Welcome to the Formula One podcast, ladies and gentlemen, where the host has not watched fuck all of the weekend.
No.
Sorry, you have. Yeah, you have, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, just maybe.
Some good naps. Good naps.
I went back to it, you know. It's not like old days when you had to program VCR with TV Plus and then hope for the best that it recorded it. You know, you can actually just go back and stream it again. I don't know.
If you don't record it, guys, you're then bound by Channel 4 rules.
James, Tony doesn't know the pain of setting up a VCR and getting the little white lines on a black screen with a switch behind. You know, and all
that was just phasing out when I was there. Gaining consciousness.
The pains of putting your VCR into the player and then realising you didn't rewind it the last time, so you've got to wait 5 minutes.
So did you watch on Channel 4, Tony?
No, I was on it this weekend. I fully went in on the new sprint qualifying, sprint, the whole new method.
No, but did you watch it on Sky or Channel 4?
Sky. I'm so glad I watched it on Sky. Because
Nico Rosberg, amazing commentary.
Our man made a return. Our man, our favourite person, the man-child.
The bitter man. The bitter horrible, man. Fucking won't let it drop, dickhead of a commentator. That stuck the knife in Lewis Hamilton's back every opportunity he got.
Lewis was not lucky. He was, yeah.
What a fucking...
You know he was wearing whip sandals as well.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, he did give some praise now and again to Lewis and Mercedes.
James will know this saying, as he's a manager... Nico Rosberg went full manager and give a shit sandwich. So it was negative, compliment, negative. That's what he did. He is an absolute wanker. Oh, no, sorry, it's the other way around, isn't it? Compliment.
Full shit sandwich.
Yeah, it was basically a Big Mac shit sandwich. Let's be honest.
But then he did give some good points in commentary about the cars and, like, yeah.
Rosberg. And Crofty were cringy together. Like,
yeah, I didn't like that combination.
Yeah, but going back to you, James, Mercedes, terrible.
Yeah, I mean, how do you do it? Honestly, you go in to the sprint, you've got second position, absolutely smashed out in the shootout, everything. You finish the sprint. Still in second after everything else that had kicked off. You You hold that position. Then you go to qualifying and you can't get past 18th.
It was the wind.
Wind. We can blame the wind many a time for many reasons, but he did it twice. He did do it twice in the same corner.
Apparently, the car is so shit and they don't understand the shit car that George Russell went that way, as far left as he could go. I'm just going far left as an example. Don't read into that. In an engineering sense, and Lewis Hamilton went as far right as he could go in an engineering sense. And Lewis said, I got it wrong. But we've said this in previous weeks, haven't we? This is what they're having to do, because apparently the car is amazing when it's literally hunkered to the ground. And then it bounces like frig, so they have to lift it up. And it's terrible.
Oh.
That's amazing. Then you start the engine and it turns to shit.
I mean, yeah, we could all say that. I tell you what, my car is amazing because it's got a 6.3 litre Mercedes engine in the back from an AMG. No. It's not amazing because it hasn't. It's not amazing. Fucking clowns. They haven't got a clue. They haven't got a clue.
No, they haven't.
They are dumb.
And the only good thing is that they're finally not admitting it, because I think it's more a case of they're finally accepting it. Toto this week came out and went, because they said to him, you know, do you think it's any good? And he just went, it's not good. And he's going on about upgrades that they've got for Miami and he's going to make a turn. But, mate, come on, we've heard this for the last 2 years.
Yeah,
it's not changing.
I mean, everybody does. It's hard.
We've got some work to do. It's like, no shit, mate.
It's like, really hard to polish a shit, isn't it?
It is. Like you say, how many times have Merck said, like, we have for the next weekend, we've got a big upgrade package coming for the next race? And like you say, they've said that countless times. 2 weeks ago, they said that there was... the simulator weren't giving them what was coming out to the car. So have you fixed that simulator issue? Or is the simulator say, this is worth 3 seconds a lap. Get it on your car and it'll be worth 0.1, or it'll make the car slower. I don't believe anything that comes out of the mouth at the minute.
No, neither do I. Agree.
Yeah, like Lance Stroll's more believable than what comes out of his mouth.
Oh my god.
That comes out of him at the moment. He's up there with Horner, isn't he?
Yeah. Ricciardo was so angry. And at first I thought, why? And then the more they showed the replays, it was like, yeah, I get it. And then when Lance Stroll opened his mouth and had a go, he braked in front of me. Did he? Fancy braking for a corner? What an absolute bell end he is.
There were so many things I took from that. Many things. I mean, one of them was Lance Stroll just kept going, yeah, it's just a silly race incident, just a concertina effect. Every question he would got asked went, yeah, it's a concertina effect. It's like, oh, right, okay. But what about your eyebrows, Lance? Did he get them from Bert and Ernie's workshop, or are they your own? Good, yeah, it's just a concertina effect. It's like, right, okay. So there was that. He just kept saying the same thing. Ricciardo, obviously, I loved his interview post race, and they told him what Lance Stroll had said, and he went, did he really say that? He went, no, I'm really pissed off. He went, I was willing to leave it alone. I'd calm down. I've watched the replay. That guy is not watching what he's doing. He went at that court. He's not looking at me. He's looking at the apex of the turn.
Yeah.
But then Piastri, brutal, absolutely brutal. He went, yeah, I was in that as well. We was all in that concertina effect, but the rest of us didn't crash.
Exactly right. Well done, Piastri.
As soon as Max slowed down, you knew it slowed down ridiculously, and I was like, oh shit, something bad's gonna happen at the start of that corner.
Max always does, he'll always slow down a little bit, just to, and it's not just Max, whoever is in the lead will always do that, because you do get that concertina, and then you can just fly off and deal
with it. That was the last corner to do it.
Yeah, but you're the safety car. He's got every right to do that. He's not doing anything wrong.
No.
He has got every right to do that. And like you just said, Piastri, Sainz, Ricciardo all managed to slow down. Lance Stroll, for some reason, had forgotten there was 19 other cars on the circuit and thought, I'm just going to look in the mirror and see if I can see the corner. Oh shit, he's pressed his brake. Like you said, why would you even be looking right when you're that close to the car in front?
Yeah.
Interesting.
The only other question I've got is, does Lance Stroll always sound like that?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how I've never noticed it before, but.
Yeah. It sounds like a
Kevin. He's got Bert's eyebrows, but Ernie's voice.
Yep. He is very much a cartoon character.
Yeah.
It's just a concertina effect. I even sounded Canadian then, which is really bad.
Is the Canadian Bert and Ernie?
The Canadian Bert and Ernie.
Like we've said before in previous weeks, if his dad is serious about winning a championship, I know Alonso's now signed a new deal. But if he is serious about that team winning anything, you need two drivers or a really good driver like Max Verstappen. You need two drivers to get you enough points to do something in a championship. Lance Stroll is never going to be that driver, ever.
No. I mean, we always discuss, and I always say the same thing. At the end of the day, the guy got a super license, so, you know, he probably does deserve to be in F1, but we've also said how much money can daddy throw at a problem to resolve it before you know that resolution just doesn't work anymore. And is he now at that kind of point where it is genuinely just that kind of daddy can throw as much money as he wants at this, isn't going to fix anything, and is Lance just going to get pushed out by the rest of the pack?
Well, is it in 2 years' time? Obviously, Aston Martin are binning off the Mercedes engine and they're going to Honda, aren't they? Or is it next year? It's either next year or the year after.
Yeah, it's coming.
Obviously, the Honda engine this weekend especially proved in the back of the Red Bull, Max was 1.6 seconds a lap quicker than every other car on track in clean air. So they're going to have that boost up the grid when they get that new engine. Is he going to crash more because he can't handle that extra speed? Because clearly he can't handle what's in the back of his car now. You know, we take the piss out of Sargent, we take the piss out of Albon. I reckon over the last 3 years, Lance Stroll has crashed more than any driver combined with another two or three.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he's had more this year already.
Mm, yeah.
Than three.
Yeah. But then Sargent must be quickly catching him up here.
I was thinking about this at weekend. So Sargent, we were beating up on him a bit last week. If you put Sargent in that Aston Martin, would he do a better job than Lance Stroll? And I would say, I think he might do.
Yeah. I mean, what we've got to remember at the moment, the last couple of races, he'd been driving around with a shit, a fucked over chassis.
Yeah, Albon's second hand chassis.
Well, not Logan Sargeant. What about a Liam Lawson?
Yeah.
What about an Ollie Behrman?
Yeah.
What about a Nick De Vries? It's a sticky one, that one.
That would be interesting. Because Nick De Vries in Formula E, and before he got in a Formula One car last season, was like this protege. He was this next big thing. He was like, he was, you know, another Max Verstappen. He was, I don't think he got a fair crack of it at the Toro Rosso, because like we've said, Daniel Ricciardo's not really sticking out. Yuki Tsunoda's not really sticking out. Again, it's not a great car. That Aston Martin's a pretty good car. And I know Alonso grabs the wheels off it and probably overachieves what they can get because it's Fernando Alonso. But it's a better car than what De Vries had. So would he do a better job in that car? Probably. Let's be honest, he was test driver and fair driver for Mercedes. They ain't going to keep you around if you shit.
Exactly.
But then again, it's not a shit team, is it, really? All them people that I've just mentioned, are they really the calibre of driver that you'd want in that car? They've been linked to signs quite heavily recently. I'd say that's more of a calibre driver, like a top driver, I could see. We've got one already, so...
You know what? I would say... I think I could be very confident already in saying, you know, we keep making the comment of he hasn't got a seat for next year.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say.
He will be the one that everyone is fighting for.
Yeah. I think everybody in the F1 world can agree that if Aston Martin want to improve, Lance Stroll has to go.
Yeah, 100%.
I would like to speak to somebody who disagrees with that. I really would, and I'd like to understand why.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi, is that Lawrence?
There's one guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just put you on speakerphone.
Yeah. And anyone that currently works for Aston Martin, because let's be honest, they'll all be scared shitless to say, yeah, Lance shouldn't be in the car. Oh. But I reckon a lot of his mechanics, like we touched on before, a lot of his mechanics will be thinking, what is the point? What's the point? I'm not going to try 100% because we're not serious. We can't be serious. We're employing the boss's son. And he's, like you say, if you was to rank all the drivers, Lance Stroll would be very, very near the bottom.
Yeah.
Lance Stroll,
the current drivers.
They probably sit there every week and think to themselves, this must be what it feels like to be like Donald Trump's legal team. Going, fuck.
Why do I bother? Why do I bother? Because I mean, something else.
Max's reaction when he saw the crash in the at the end in the winner's circle, says it all.
Well, it's almost laughable, isn't it? Like, that's a professional racing driver.
Going into the back of
somebody. A footballer spooning it every week, wouldn't it, in front of a girl from a yard out? And you'd be like, seriously, that's his job.
But then getting out and going, oh, yeah, he slammed up. Sorry, mate. Everybody knows.
Yeah.
That's in a rear end accident. Yeah. I mean, Ricardo could have just got out of the car and just gone, ooh, ooh, oh.
Whiplash claim. Whiplash. Yeah,
but I think that his reaction has made it 1,000 times worse. His reaction has showed him up his true colours 1,000%. Like, if he'd have got out of the car and gone, yeah, I want luck, and I just went in the back of him, I'm an idiot. Fair dues, Lance Stroll, laugh, yeah, move on. But he's gone, he slammed on. What a dickhead. You're a dickhead.
You're right, it's more the reaction. Because if he'd have got out and gone, hey, look, it was my fault. I was looking over there. I didn't see the concertina effect. I didn't kind of expect it to happen. You're 100% right. The fact that he got out of that car and it was someone else's fault straight away.
But and that was Daniel Ricciardo's race over.
Yeah, it was. And he was doing all right, to be fair.
He was doing all right. Again, why 10-second penalty? What's that going to do? One guy's out of the race, the other guys can still race on. Yeah, I still think that's bleeding.
Well, I mean, he's struggled this season, you know, with Yuki. And, you know, it's gone from that kind of he's going to be going to Red Bull to, oh shit, is he going to have a seat at the end of the season? So he's fighting for his own career, and then that happens. So you're frustrated with that anyway, regardless. But when you're in the situation he's in already, it makes it tenfold. And yeah, everything you said, I agree with.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that one little, you know, Lance not paying attention, he ruined that race for two drivers.
Yeah.
So obviously, and then it also affects Piastri as well.
And it could have been more, because like you say, that concertina effect, it could have been four cars, five cars. It could have caused, it could have put a lot of people out. Just by, but like you say, if he'd have owned it and said, look, hey, my fault. Okay, it happens. But the fact, like you say, it didn't, makes it worse than actually what it was.
Yeah, because I'm going to sound really blasé saying it. We I mean, Christ, we've all seen crashes in F1. We see them all the time. That's just a ridiculous thing to actually happen. And you'll see a driver plow into the side of another driver and pretty much smash the car in two, and they'll get out and go, that was my bad. Yeah, won't pay attention. But, mate, you went into the back of the car and lifted it a little bit. Granted, it ruined the car. You hit the gearbox. You weren't able to move anymore. But, Jesus, just turn around and go, yeah, my bad.
Oh, no, yeah.
All you have to do.
My bad.
Yeah.
Well, there's a few penalties there. Obviously, Lance got one.
Mm-hmm.
Ricardo got one. And
Logan got one.
Logan won it, yeah.
10 seconds.
Oh, for the safety car breach, yeah.
Safety car infringement. Mm. Kevin got 10 seconds.
Mm.
Same with Ricardo though as well. There was both for overtaking under a safety car. But one of them, it was just confusion, was because it was just that kind of, well, I saw him doing it and I thought, well, maybe that's because he was an overtaking car in safety, so he was getting his spot back, so I was doing the same. And it was like, it won. Cool. It was some kind of technicality behind it.
Was that the Bottas safety car? Or was
Bottas
was it?
Engine.
So
they stuck in gear.
They've mentioned this on commentary. Obviously, there was an image of Bottas putting his steering wheel back on and just double wave yellers behind him. And they were saying that, why did it take the FIA so long to go to a virtual safety car? It should have been instant, really. And then when they couldn't move the car, it was rightfully a full safety car. But they said, really, the yellow flags, cars were still going at a rate of knots. That could have been a massive accident again. And it's almost like they haven't learned and they're too slow to react. Like, why was that? Why was he an image? I mean, it was all like funny, you know, Bottas putting his steering wheel on with all these cars racing in the background under wave yellers. But seriously, that was pretty dangerous.
Yeah, I agree.
We've said this so many times here. You know, like, you know, when we'll see a crash, we'll be watching it, you know, in the comfort of our own homes, in our armchairs, probably awake. And you've got the race on. And so you're only seeing what the cameras are covering. And you, as soon as you see that crash, you're like, that's a red flag. That's a red flag all day. And it goes VSC. And you're like, really? You just want the cars to reduce down to 80% of the speed. And then after a couple of laps, it's like, all right, maybe it should be a safety car. It's like, really?
Yeah.
The guy's sat in the middle of the track.
Yeah.
And then after the lap, I know what you're alluding to. I laughed at it when it happened, but the more I think about it, the more I shouldn't have done. That should have been a red flag instantly.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. I don't know why it wasn't. Still, nobody knows really why it wasn't. But it keeps happening, doesn't it? And it's getting a bit scary now. Like, why wasn't that just automatically a VSC? He's stuck near the track in a fast section. Why aren't we just going virtual safety car?
I didn't realise with the Russell incident, it was down to all the engineers to tell their drivers there's a car in the middle of the road, slow down. Yeah. If they hadn't, they'd have been hitting that corner at full tilt.
Shit, I never knew.
So what if there was obviously that other race, there was radio silence. Well, when I talked about that female F1 female driver who radio kept cutting out on the track and was all laughing because she carried on going after the checkered flag. If their radios had cut out and their engineers screamed at them, slow down, slow down, slow down, and they can't hear them, they'd have literally been a mass pile-up.
Yeah.
And because of the way...
Right into Russell. Yeah. Russell was belly up, wasn't he? So he would have got a full-on car right into his face.
So
because he played on his side, but his head was facing the direction that the cars was coming at.
And there was the dust.
So, it would have straight into his skull.
I honestly think the way we're going, there's going to be a big accident this year. A big
accident. Yeah.
Because
I know what you mean.
I don't know. They're just not... I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's because it's different stewards or different... Like, you know, we've talked about Charlie Whiting previously, that he was Mr. Safety, that it ran so well when he was alive and in charge. And now it seems to be amateur hour.
Mm. Yeah, it does, to be honest.
Scary. Very scary.
Yeah. But we'll discuss the race properly in the second part anyway, so... Mm-hmm. Christ, there's a lot of moaning there. Jesus. I'm not going to say anything inappropriate to try and lighten the mood because I can't think of anything. And I'll probably just say something really inappropriate and will get myself cancelled when I'm not actually trying to right now.
I'll hover over the end recording button, Andy, just in case.
Yeah. Just the mute.
Yeah.
James has been muted. So what other news have we got?
Ferrari.
Other news, Ferrari.
New title Ferrari. Sponsor.
New title sponsor.
That covers 66% of the actual full budget for the year. That's how big the deal is. Been without a title sponsor since 2021, and now they've signed one with, would you like to announce who it is?
It's HP, and it's not the source. It's Hewlett-Packard.
Sponsored by Daddy's Brown Sauce.
It's now known as Scuda Ferrari HP.
Hmm. Yeah, interesting. Obviously, HP used to be on Williams a long time ago. But, yeah, big deal for them.
Big deal. Sticking with Ferrari.
Go on.
They've got some new merch coming out, especially for Miami. And it's blue, baby blue.
Yes.
Very.
It's like eggshell blue.
Mm.
Yeah. Enzo Ferrari's one of his colours. They used to have it back in the day, way back in the day. It looks beautiful. I think they might change the colour of the car. I think maybe just for this GP or for a few. That is a long shot, Tony long shot there.
Why not?
Is the HP blue the same?
The HP, yes, the HP seems to be a very similar colour to the blue that...
You may have just have predicted the future.
Maybe.
They've all, I mean, obviously they've gone with the old school colour of, you know, Enzo Ferrari's kind of...
It's a beautiful blue.
It's gorgeous blue. But even the design of the shirts and everything, it's very... Yeah, I do like what
very
I've seen of it.
So.
Very,
yeah.
Very Miami. Very Miami.
Because, you know, our boy Lewis is going there next year. We'll all be hitting that merch, I imagine. Because we've always been Ferrari.
Absolutely. It's funny. We bumped into Katie's work colleague on Saturday, and her and her partner are both massive Formula One fans. I did say to Katie, did you send the link of the podcast? She hasn't yet. And unfortunately, she's a Max Verstappen fan.
No, don't bother.
I know.
Yeah, no, we'd be listening. Then they'd hear to what we've got to say about Max, and we'd look straight away. Yeah.
Please don't listen to previous episodes if you do listen to them. And I think apart from
the truth.
What did the part like? Who's the partner?
Was a Ferrari fan, but she asked me a really good question, and I'm going to ask you both the same question.
Okay.
I can't take credit for this. If Lewis Hamilton retired tomorrow, what driver would you then follow?
Oh, Jesus.
On the spot, and she gave me 10 seconds. So, do you want my answer before yours or after yours?
Well, the first driver that jumped into my mind was Lando Norris.
Yeah.
But I don't like... I can't
follow him. I don't like him. No, I just can't.
Something about McLaren I don't like, so it's a bit... But then I'm stuck at who else? Who else?
I'm going to do exactly the same as she did. So, Tony, you've got 10 seconds from now. Lewis Hamilton's retired. Who is the driver you are following? Answer now.
If that was 10 seconds, that's fucking...
It's got to be Lando Norris.
Right, okay. James, same question.
British.
I already said it. Lando Norris.
Lando.
If I was gonna be supporting a British, you know, local, well, not local lad, but British lad. Good sorry, life. George.
I'll sing while you're talking. Land of hope and glory.
I can't do it. I can't follow either of them. It'd have to be Oscar Piastri for me.
St. George's Day. Go on. What?
Oscar.
I'd go with that.
Hmm?
Wow.
Yeah, if
in the Ferrari caps, guys. Let's get behind.
Well, Lewis is not retiring. We've got a good 3 or 4 years yet. So, Forza Ferrari.
Tune in next season. Who else are we going to support?
Forza Ferrari, Tutti Frutti, boom. That's it. We are on.
Andretti. Da, 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 da. Eagle.
Mascarpone. See, we know it all.
Exactly. Honda, the power of dreams.
Peroni! Pizza, Peroni, and ciao.
Anyway.
On that note.
I saw something pop up just before we started recording. Apparently, they are going to be changing some rules in 2025 to make it more competitive, they say.
Oh, but
apparently they are going to be changing it from the first 10 positions will get points to the first 12.
That's what I've got. That's the last bit of news I've got as well.
We've got less than a minute. Should we end it and discuss afterwards?
Yeah.
Oh, no, we're at it. Let's discuss that in part two. See you soon.
Hey, you. Yeah, you that's listening right now. Thanks very much for tuning into this episode of Straight to the Apex, the Formula One podcast from CookieCast. If you're enjoying this episode, why not like, share and subscribe? Whilst you're there, feel free to check out some of the other podcasts that CookieCast has to offer. If you like football, we've got a football podcast. NFL more your thing? Then the Laces Out podcast is for you. Maybe even a little bit of the wrestling? Just look for the Getting Over podcast on CookieCast. Maybe you want to listen to Andy's Darkest Timeline. It's there too. So, the F1 boys have probably got themselves a drink. It's time to get back to the action.
Yeah.
Tony was gulping a 2-litre bottle of Buxton there because supping on Five Guys dehydrates you. Hi, Andy.
It does.
Welcome back.
Mark's now like, we're going to start again.
Yeah. Just end the recording here and go.
Choose the thumbnail wisely. Choose your thumbnail wisely.
I did. We're back. Part two.
We're back.
DOS. How did we end it? What was your question? What did you say?
They've changed they're going to change the points so more people get points. So it should bring everything everybody a bit closer, maybe.
Is this sprint race or full race or both?
Full race.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know how it's going to make it more competitive, though.
Well, the ship teams can fight over tiny points, over 12 and 13. I mean,
there's that, but the reason they're bringing this change in is because the majority, and I'm going to say the majority, of the F1 teams are complaining about the lack of competitiveness. Well, I say the majority because Red Bull ain't going to be fucking moaning.
Nope.
But the fans are moaning about it as well. So the FIA are looking to bring these changes in, but it doesn't have any impact at the top of the grid. It gives some of the lower ranking teams more points, granted, but
I mean, it would work if there was more teams.
Yeah, but they've rejected that.
Yeah, but yeah. Andretti are plowing on with the build the factory. And if they don't, and by the way, if they don't get the go ahead, then how can a new team come in? If you spent hundreds of millions on plans, sites, staff, they've got a few hundred staff, supposedly. If that's not good and you've had a bid rejected already and have been told what to do, if you still can't get a successful bid through, then what message does that send out to the rest of the world and the future? The only way in is that if you buy, you have to buy a team, but then it turns into a very much monopoly game, which is sad. But we'll see.
It becomes then like a franchise in NFL. So there's 20 spaces. You are buying a franchise, which. So my argument with Andretti coming in is we've already got some very poor teams in Formula One.
Yeah.
If we had 10 teams that were absolutely richer as spending money left, right, and centre, then bring a new team in. The fact that we've got some teams that are on the buns of their arse every year, I kind of agree not to bring a team in.
Yeah, I agree.
But then Audi's going to change that when, obviously, now they've got Sauber. So Sauber's going to go from one of the poorer teams to probably up there with the big boys. I get that. So you've got your other teams like, Williams, you've got Alpine, because Renault aren't putting any money into Alpine. So if you're not that interested, Renault, sell to Andretti. Sell to a team that gives a shit. Because then, I tell you what, if they did do that and then Andretti started doing well, Renault would suddenly be like, we'd like to come back to Formula One. Wouldn't they?
Yeah, they would.
I mean, look at Honda. Honda were going to pull out. Honda had told Red Bull, we're done. Red Bull, get your own engines. Yep, no problem. All of a sudden, Aston Martin are going to be engine supplied exclusively by Honda.
Mm. Yeah, true.
We all want a bit of that.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's very true. Very, very true.
Always comes down to that.
Always comes down to the greens, doesn't it?
Wise words there from Bieber.
Yeah.
What? It always comes down to that. Not the wise. I mean,
Fact.
I think the wisest thing that ever came out of my mouth was put your toilet paper in the fridge the night before a curry.
More wise words.
And put some aloe vera cream on it as well.
Any more? Dare I ask?
No, not yet. Don't give him the opportunity to say something that we'll all regret. Don't give him that open forum. No.
Doing that. No.
Move on.
Any more news?
I ain't got any. No.
No.
Good luck. So, Let's touch on the race then. After all, I mean, that is kind of the usual format here, right? So, start of that race, Alonso. What a start he had.
Great start.
That was absolutely unreal. I mean, at one point, it looked like he was going to take Max as well.
Yeah.
Couldn't hold it out. But, I mean, it's the same with Max all the time anyway. Right? I mean, Christ, at one point, when was it? I think it was the first pit stop. And I can't remember if it was Brundle or if it was Ted. One of them just went, oh, look, there's Max Verstappen, all on his own.
Hmm. Well, I mean, look at the sprint shootout. Max was, fourth in quality, sprint quality? That was because of one of the best qualifyings in sprint we've had because of the rain, which we've said, Bernie Eccleston said sprinklers. He was on summit.
He was on summit. Get it on.
Max started in the sprint shootout. Literally, they were there for the taking, weren't they? He just picked them all off.
Second of lap. More. Bang, bang, bang.
And then how many seconds did he finish in front? It was so much for 19 laps or whatever it was something ridiculous, wasn't it? So like you said, it'd have been great for Alonso to get ahead in the actual race on Sunday. But Max was 1.6 seconds quicker than everybody per lap. Let's be honest, he could start 20th, have his dinner.
Yeah, I thought.
Oh, all right, then. I'll get in the car now. I'll give everyone a 5-lap head start. Yeah, no problem.
The two of them had that much of a lead. Both their pit stops. Now, granted, one of them was under safety car. But both their pit stops, they double stacked.
Mm. Yeah.
Impeccable.
And the second pit stop for Max. 9 seconds.
Mm. Wow.
It's just, two-second pit.
They even pitted Perez first on the first set of stops, didn't they? Because Max was so... Well, I guess his tyres were still like brand new, but it was so not under threat. They were just like, we'll pit you first, Perez. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
At some point this season, you can guarantee they'll go into the pit stop. You'll see Max get out the car, nip to the loo.
He will.
Get back in the car and go, I even washed my hands. Simply lovely.
Did you see Perez's dad's comments? I don't know if it was yesterday or today, that Perez is the most sought after driver on the grid. And he's doing a fantastic job in the second of the Red Bull. You want to say that again?
Hmm?
Say that again.
I said, from who? Taco Bell.
He must be.
How is he the most sought after driver?
Well, I'm speechless because, like you say, he isn't doing that car. Like, I mean, we touch on it every week. That car is rapid, and he's not doing the job.
It's just an idiot.
I get it. Like Max likes a very pointy, very unstable car, where Perez is. I think it was actually Rosberg with one of his good points. Perez likes a car where you have to nurse your rear tyres. So he was a tyre whisperer, wasn't he? He could eke out the rear tyres. The fact that the Red Bull is very pointy, it's all front tyres. He can't look after front tyres. So I get it doesn't suit his style. But he's been in the car for 3 years now. Change your style. Max is doing. Max can drive
it. You've been lucky, really, that you've outlasted pretty much.
I think we've said it before. I don't think he's good enough. But the fact that his dad is saying he's the most sought after driver on the grid.
Bullshit. That's bullshit.
When you've got Alonso, Hamilton, Verstappen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
Signs is going to be up there.
Yeah. Like you say, Alonso got such a good start and he was up there and you thought, he's still got it. You know, he nearly got the both of them. Some great driving again from him. Yes, he pushes the boundaries. Mm. Would we say slightly? No, maybe more than slightly.
Yeah. But that's the thing. He's the oldest man on the grid. That guy has been driving F1 cars longer than some of those drivers have been alive.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, they bring up the stats and goes, here's Fernando Alonso doing a pit stop. Did you know Fernando Alonso won his first Grand Prix the same day that Lando Norris learned to walk?
It's like, yep.
Me. But he's still got it.
Mm.
I mean, Christ showed it on Sunday.
He did.
He put the world champion at risk. Now, granted, if it had overtook him, it wouldn't have been for long. Max would have got him in the end, as always. But not many people can actually say they've overtaken Max Verstappen in the last couple of years.
No, 100%. I mean, it'd have certainly made it interesting because Fernando isn't one to give up a position easily. So Max would probably have to fight for it. Even though he had a lot quicker car, he'd have probably done him on the straight. However,
yeah,
Fernando would have made him absolutely battle.
Yeah, Max would either have to get him under DRS or pray that Alonso made some kind of mistake.
Mm.
Like the car locks up or something like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Alonso, he's like the only guy who can make his car four times wider than it is. Genuinely is. You might as well drive the thing fucking sideways.
Well, he was at one point when he dipped it on the gravel.
Yeah, another save.
Because that, I mean, how he saved that, I recovery. Don't know. Because
Sainz didn't.
No, it didn't. No, Sainz didn't in, that was quali, wasn't it?
Quali. Yeah.
Because they kicked off that he was allowed to carry on, even though he brought the red flag out. But Sainz's reactions wasn't that quick. Alonso went fully on the gravel. And the reaction time of him snapping the steering wheel and catching it, fair play.
And the way he snaps it as well, he snaps it fully all the way around. Like, it wasn't just there. He had to move his hands so quick around his arms. How the fuck he did that, I don't know.
That's unreal.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's nuts. Absolutely. They'll
probably still be trying to avoid getting buried.
Yeah.
But no, there was that. Then obviously Bottas went off on the
engine.
His engine just went out. Mm. And obviously that caused the VSC and then the safety car. Red Bull made the second double stack. And then obviously the
Cantatinia effect. Yeah, it was just a simple racing incident, eh?
Kind of thing happened.
Yeah. It was.
It was like Lance was on the podcast then. I'm just in awe. All you needed was a bit thicker eyebrows, and I literally thought, "Wow, he's grown a beard overnight, and we've got him as a guest."
Mm. Do you know what I really enjoyed at the end of the race? Joe on the grid. I thought that was an amazing touch by the F1. Yeah. And he cried, bless him, and all the fans went mental. And I thought that was quality.
His first home Grand Prix in
first ever. Time he drove there. Yeah, first time he drove there. Surprisingly. Yeah, I thought that was nice. I mean, we slag off certain other circuits, don't we, when you see literally no one there, Bahrain. China was pretty good. I know there was still the stands that have got the covers on. They don't seem to use them ones that are far out. But, I mean, it was pretty much sold out.
It's just interesting, China and the race at China in itself and the build-up towards it, that the culture's so different, and it's Joe's first time that they've had their own racer there. He's not the best driver on the grid, not with the best car in the team, so it's hard for the fans and the kind of the whole country to get behind him, because we've got an obsession about winners and only showing winners. I don't know if anybody had seen the marathon runner that won the other week, where the other three runners behind the Chinese man kind of ushered him to the front.
Mm.
But China is the big... I didn't know this, but China's... There's a lot of people in China, and there's a lot of cars in China.
Yep.
So, therefore, there's a lot of money in China. So I wouldn't be surprised if Joe moved to a quicker team or a better team. Not necessarily for him to become better. I think he can be better. But commercially, there could be a good point there. Very good point.
I think you may have hit... Yeah, I think you're totally right. I think that Zhou, apparently, he was rumoured not to be well thought of, not a very fast driver. Is he in it just for the commercial? Probably. Did he do what? He had some decent races. But
good story.
Yeah. Commercially for Formula One, he's massive. The first Chinese driver for however many years. Unfortunately, it's business is business.
I'm going to throw this out there then.
Mm-hmm.
Could you see him racing alongside George Russell at Mercedes?
No. I think that's a step too. I don't think he'd get in a top seat.
But a Mercedes a top seat.
Well, according to Toto Wolff, at the minute, they're currently in a transitional period, which means they may put a rookie in the car next year.
But yeah, and I completely agree. And this really cheesed me off on Instagram. Max, they're still trying to spin this Max Verstappen. Why would Max Verstappen go to Mercedes? There's no money in the world. There's nothing you can do to get him there. The car's shit. If you want to come here, you're coming here clearly for the experience, the money, and the shot at the top 10, easy. Why would he do that? Surely Mercedes is the last team that he'd ever do that.
I think
Mercedes' only option is a rookie. That's their only option.
Yeah, it is.
Or somebody from the bottom pack.
Max ain't going to leave there. Max has always made it clear he's only in it for a few years. He's not going to be your next Fernando Alonso or anything else like that. I think he's saying like 27, and he's done. He's going to want to pocket as many bloody championships as he can. And at the moment, I almost feel weird saying it, but we all know it's true. Mercedes ain't there.
No. They're not even in the top three or four. Let's be honest. Toto's doing it for Bantz. To get under Christian Horner's skin. And I tell you what, it's working. That righteous little prick come out yesterday and said, Toto needs to look and concentrate on his own team. Like you have any scope to talk at all.
So, yeah.
He's got quiet, hasn't he?
And you need your wife and staff.
Now, we haven't been going to him as much on the pit wall or in interviews.
Yeah, but don't you think he's had some very cringy after race interviews where he's just stood all by himself in the paddock, no one else around him with his glasses on, and he's not the gobshite he was, is he? He's very reserved and quiet.
Maybe.
Funny. I mean, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Really of Toto with his little comment, because it's distracting.
Yeah.
Media from him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Genuinely.
Yeah. But you're right. The rookie is the only option for Mercedes next year, I think. 100%.
100%.
George Russell.
They've got nothing to lose, Dave.
Go on, James.
So, what was I was going to say, I don't want to say the term they've got progressively worse, but they have. Mm. Every seat, I mean, Toto went on Drive to Survive and going, everybody's got a target on their back. And I'm sorry, Toto, but at the moment, you're kind of right because your drivers are just looking at everybody else's back.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the four? The 12 points ahead of fifth, who I can't remember off the top of my head, but they are 44 points behind McLaren. And that's not me saying anything bad about McLaren, but saying Mercedes are fourth in the constructors is not something you're used to hearing.
You're 44 points behind your customer. Behind your customer. You're the worst team. You're 44 points behind the customer. That should never happen.
Yep.
Like, that should never happen. Ever. Yep. George Russell has become the Formula One equivalent of Harry Kane in football. Because Harry Kane left Spurs to go win trophies at Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich have won the league for X amount of years. Best season Harry Kane goes there. They don't win the league. George Russell joins a winning team, turns into an absolute pile of shit. I mean, I'm not blaming George, but...
No, absolutely not.
Allegedly.
You know what? It's a shame as well because we was all excited about George going to Mercedes.
That's a fucking badass team for him.
And it was piss poor timing for him, unfortunately. And then he just became annoying because he became that new member of staff who is pretty much crawling up the boss's ass. And I know I always made that comment about Alonso when he first went to Aston Martin going, oh, it's a fantastic drive, boss. Yeah, I really like the boss. But that was George. And then he went into this word of the day, fucking toilet roll, George, of, you know, just someone will always go, oh, is this about me? But it's like, oh, mate, come on, just... You're an F1 driver. You're meant to be a lad.
He was never a lad.
Nah, he was never a lad. Never.
The Williams, he was never a lad.
And now it's just like, mate, every time I look at you, your eyes look glazed over like you're about to cry.
The unbuttoned shirt, walking through London town, just, no. Yeah. The furthest away from lad you can get.
I can't.
Yuki Tsunoda's a lad. Get him in.
He's an angry lad.
He's an angry lad.
Yeah. Get but him in. You know what? He came out this season and finally, after a bit of years, he finally comes out and goes, yeah, we've got some work to do. Mm. Really?
Well done, you. Well done, you.
Can you go back to the engineers and let them know? In your post race debrief, just go, guys. I don't think the car's
good. Do you think he has been sat there for all these years, sat there going, oh, don't know what Lewis is on about. This car, mate, class. What you've done, guys, class. Like you say, hey, engineer, you've done an absolute amazing job at ground effect cars. Don't you change. Lewis is wrong. And now he's realising that, yeah, I've been literally kissing their ass and they've built an absolute dog.
It's just, I don't think it's that. I think it's just, he is Mr. PC. Like, he is, like, just roll him out and he'll do exactly what you want him to do. Like, you know what you're going to get.
Let's be honest. If James Stainforth was a Formula One Mercedes driver and you had George Russell and they said, right, big sponsor guy, Patronus, we want you to send one of your drivers. Let's be honest. James is going to no corporate events. All the staff are on tenterhooks. Like, what's he going to say? Oh, he's going to upset a shake or something. What's he going to say?
Yeah, he's going to come out like Kimi Räikkönen, and he absolutely fucking pissed out of his face. Like,
exactly.
Put his arm around people, arm around these fucking CEOs. And
George fucking... Russell, the most wooden, boring man that you could ever meet. Sit there with probably a water in his hand, and he'd be like, yes, you're the best sponsor. Like, nah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I am not going to say what I was going to say, but I will message you a little bit later on.
Okay.
I am now
scared.
Someone remind me about my inappropriate comment to Christian Horner.
Okay. I am scared. Even in a text message, I am scared.
I'll put it in the other team group so that you can also see said message.
Okay.
Jim Steenforth's one and only F1 corporate event.
It's a one and done, never to return.
Yeah. What else we got on the race? I ain't really got much.
What else, really?
I had some notes from the sprint, as in the weird grass fire that kept happening.
So did I. Yes. I'm glad we're speaking about this, because my mind has been, oh, fucking, what has caused the grass fire? What
Twice.
Caused it?
Spa.
Twice. Was it magic?
They're saying it's the...
Voodoo.
Was it gas from the marshland?
It's the underbody of the car. It's the underbody of the car as it goes up and sparks and it's...
Yeah, but grass doesn't catch fire. I've been allowed 31 years and I've drove all around the East Riding. And I've never seen grass catch on fire. Just,
I believe Australians might have a different take on, like, and Americans, like, you know, like forest fires and outback fires. And but,
well, I mean, no one was smoking in the F1 cars and throwing it out.
That maybe Lance was. Maybe Lance decided to throw a cig out every time he went by that corner in the hope that the full weekend would get cancelled and they'd give him the win.
What have you heard? What caused it?
Sparks from the plank, apparently.
That's what I've heard. Sparks from the plank as they go over the bumpers.
But do you know what was really interesting? And no one mentioned this. So before the race weekend, they said that they coated the...
Butamine. Butamine.
Is this what you was going to say? So they'd coated it with this butamine. And then when it rained, it was like driving on ice. But no one said... Hang on, they've put a chemical on the tarmac. The cars are skidding across the floor, creating sparks on said chemical. Fire hazard? Question mark?
Some of it had got on the grass. So it dried, but then also some of it dried on the grass. So then when it sparked, it warmed that said bit of grass up and it's caught fire.
Go on.
I've heard also it could have been paint. Because some people paint grass green to make it look like green. Grass.
Oh, I thought you meant paint the...
Not the guy from Heartbeat. I'm talking about the actual physical grass.
Interesting.
But I don't know. I've not seen an answer.
No. It just kind of got very quickly brushed over and like, we had to red flag a couple of sessions. It was only a small fire. Don't rush to put it out. Yeah, it was odd.
Yeah, random catching fire. Mm. Yeah, that sounds safe. That's all right. Yeah.
With the track catching fire behind you. You know, it's like it's lights out at the Chinese Grand Prix, and it just looks like a scene out of Back to the Future.
To be fair, the Merc had struggled to get to 77 mile an hour.
I was going to say, yeah, the Merc wouldn't hit it, would it?
No.
All the other cars would be going back to 1955 and Lewis would just be sat there going, hello?
I mean, hello? Other things that I enjoyed were the Perez passing Sainz and Alonso in the sprint race. I thought that was visions of Hamilton at Silverstone.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Good overtakes, yeah. Give it that.
Yeah, I see some fights in the sprint and stuff like that. But yeah, so that was China. So
my last thing was, why did they reinstate Norris's time on the sprint qualifying? He didn't gain advantage, even though he went off track limits. That's why they reinstated it.
He didn't gain an advantage. It was mitigating circumstances. I kind of got that. That was fair.
But Mark, rules are fucking rules.
Yeah, right? But...
rules are fucking rules. And why did it pop up? Why did it pop up just as Hamilton passed the finish line as well? So it was like, whoa, oh, whoa, what the fuck's going on here?
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
I mean, yeah. After my sulk, I was okay with it.
Okay. Yeah, so China, the race finished with Verstappen in first, but, it's, you know, it's, unless he does a DNF, it's always going to be that. Norris was second. Jamie Nose just fell off the lap then. Norris came second, Perez third, Leclerc fourth, Sainz fifth, Russell, Alonso, Piastri, Hamilton, Hülkenberg, and then 10 other drivers that...
We don't
care. Over there.
We don't care.
Yeah. So, predictions, Mark. You must be happy.
I am. And also, I mean, really, I should give you a point for... Well, let's... Yeah, I am very happy.
Yeah!
Yeah, you picked it. You picked number three.
I lost a point for no reason.
I forgot about that. Bitch. No, that really stings. Yeah, Mark, you had gone Max Norris, and then I went with Perez. Because I couldn't bring myself to be a dick to you, giving you the golden bonus point. So you've gone from 10 to 17. I went Max, Perez, Sainz. I got Max. I went from 13 to 16. Tony, you went Max, Perez, Norris. Again, you got Max, so you went from 13 to 16 as well. So there's still very little in it, but yeah, Max took a nice little leap there.
Well done.
Girls. Charlie still being rebellious when Zhou Guanyu, Perez, Sainz. She started with two. She's still got two. Beth went Max, Sainz, Norris. Obviously getting Max, so she went from 6 to 9. So, boys, Miami.
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 So host goes first.
Yep.
I have gone Max for the win.
Yep.
Perez third.
Perez third?
Sorry, Perez second.
Okay.
Oh, damn it. Sorry. Could have had him. Ocho.
Who third?
Who third?
Norris. Norris? Yep. Okay.
Norris, okay. So he cut out. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Cut out.
Yeah.
I said something else.
Nope.
Would you like me to go next?
You can.
I will go Max, Perez, Alonso. Because I'm a fucking nutcase. Oh no, Charles.
I think that was the results last year, actually.
So.
Go on, Mark. I know what you're going to say. Well, can I predict Mark's predictions?
Well, I can only pick one and two because of my ban. Apparently, I can never pick three until I say I love the FIA.
So who gets to pick your third?
Well, James, because he's a spokesperson. So who have I gone one and two, Tony?
I mean, the FIA is back.
I think you've gone Max.
Yep, correct.
And then I think you've gone Sainz.
I had him down as third before I forgot that I wasn't allowed to pick third. So I've got Max, Perez, and blank for what James is going to put in there. Hopefully,
go on, James. Go on, James. Do it. Do it, James. He gave him 2 points last week. So
I know. I don't want to do it again.
We'll put Albon then. Lance Stroll for the win.
Well, hang on.
The topic.
I love the FIA. The FIA.
Comedy value.
I'm allowed to pick again.
There you go. He said it. He's done it.
So signs.
Did he? What was that? What just happened? I don't understand.
He caved.
I caved. Do you know why? Because I'm 1 point in front.
That's... Was that the key?
Hey?
When was that?
The FIA will probably correspond next week, but in James's statement, it said, as soon as I said the words, I love the FIA, I love the FIA, I was going to pick my third choice driver.
Okay, now, I think my appeal for my point deductions fucking still in the post somewhere.
Well, it makes a mockery of me kicking off saying I will never say I love the FIA, and I think I've said it about 7 times now, so that's how fickle I am, ladies and gentlemen.
So, I've got Charlie's.
Mm-hmm.
Are we ready?
Yep.
So Charlie's gone Norris for the win.
Ooh.
Perez second.
Ooh.
And Sainz third.
That's not a bad shout if Max didn't drive.
I'm gonna say yeah. If Max should die in the next week, she's in for a shot.
Beth,
I'm still away. I mean, while we wait, we can just brush over to Liverpool at the minute, getting beat 2-0. Sorry,
Manu are winning 3-2 now. I'm just going to call this out there. She's late for the third week in a row.
Oh, whoa. Wow, Hull City are winning as well.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Welcome to the Formula One podcast. Get your latest football scores here. Yeah.
I also think that, I think Andy wanted to be the god of the FIA. Andy, do you think Beth should get a point deduction? Please answer us. I think he should now. Or a very strong written warning.
Very strong. No, she's not. She's
is
not
the FIA. She's the regulatory body. Then that would mean that Andy is the government.
Well, let's just call him God.
Yeah, let's just call him God.
Yeah.
God overrules the FIA.
God. We'll go
to Beth's Productions and do them post recording, I believe, guys, because we are running out of time. So, as always, share the love, like, subscribe, pin down that dog walk across the road, force your ear pods into his ears and make him listen to it. Big thanks to Andy from Cookie Cast and looking after us and putting up with me, especially me tonight. Big thanks to Mark, Tony, and I will see you guys soon.
See you later.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.
So there you go. What do you think to that? Fantastic. The season's well underway now, well in the swing of things, and so is the podcast. And I think we can all agree it's a fantastic podcast. And the way we agree more is by clicking that like button. Share the podcast with as many people as possible. Subscribe to the podcast. That's a big one. And, leave a review. You love it. Let other people know how much you love it. You can also check out the website. It's thecookiecast.com. There you can find social media links and an email button. And that way you can get in touch with these guys and say, hey, love what you're doing. That is it for this one. Till next time, I'm going to say bye. And I'll see you then.
Thanks for listening. If you liked this episode of Cookie Cast, please like, share and subscribe.